All right, man. We talked to Marcus all season long. We were going the ins and outs of the regular season. What's wrong with the Warriors? Nothing's wrong with the Warriors. They're up 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals. He wrote a great piece in The Athletic about Andrew Wiggins' dunk and all that it meant. Lots to talk about. One win away from the NBA Finals. Marcus Thompson of The Athletic on the UMA guest line, Murph and Max show. What's up, Marcus?
Oh, man, I got to begin today's conversation by wishing my daughter a 15th birthday.
Hey,
happy birthday.
I am not there because I'm such a terrible father who provides for her and gives her everything she needs.
That's the thing.
But,
yep.
But she's 15 today. I'm pretty hype about that.
It's crazy, man.
How you
go so fast.
Yeah, how you feeling about that as a dad?
Man, I feel like I look pretty good to have a 15-year-old daughter. I'm pretty spry. I feel like I can still play hoop with my daughter, so we good.
Okay, I like that. I like that, man. But again, Marcus, my only advice, having a couple of kids a few years older than yours, you got to really be in the moment, man. It goes so freaking fast. And don't beat yourself up for being on the road. You got to, like you said, you got to be able to bring home some birthday presents. Daddy's got to go on the road. What are you going to do?
You know, she was like a... Dang, you're missing my birthday again. And I was like, what do you mean again? And she was like, well, you missed it one time before. I was like, actually, it's more like five, but you just don't remember.
Yeah, she does not have a good Warrior playoff birthday.
It's tough. Yeah, that's true. It's terrible. In a tough spot.
It's a terrible spot when the Warriors are great.
Yeah.
You're like, baby, you should have been born in the Kohan years.
Right.
I'd have been home every
been
birthday.
There the whole time. It's
been all good.
Yeah. You guys would be going out for a fabulous lunch today.
Ice cream sundaes. We've been doing it all.
Oh, man. How's Dallas, man? The Luka and Kidd comments after was, I don't even know if they're going to show up tonight.
Look like they just got their souls ripped out, Marcus.
Yeah, they sound done, right? We didn't even get the obligatory, you know, it's one game at a time, why not us, right? Why can't we be the first team? They ain't get none of that.
No.
They sound like it's the last day of school, and they were contemplating all that they've learned from the school of Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson, and the Warriors, right? Like, they sounded done. Luka sounded like he was already preparing for how he was going to deal with this offseason. But I do think a big part of that is they are exhausted, right? Partially because they had an emotional seven-game series against, you know, Phoenix, and this has been a run longer than even they anticipated. You know, partially because they're playing seven-and-a-half guys. Their rotation is pretty small, but also I think they've learned that the Warriors are incredibly depth, and that offense is just really tough to keep up with. You're a 3-point shooting team, and you got to chase around all that action. Like, they are exhausted. Reggie Bullock is done. So I'd be surprised if Dallas wins tonight. The Warriors will have to really come out lackadaisical. One first quarter punch, and I think the series is over.
Wow.
It'd be amazing. And different than Denver and Memphis, where they didn't close it out on the road.
Yeah, well, Denver, I think both of those, Denver was first round, and it was like they were playing for their pride, right? They were just like, yo, we can't get swept. They were just going with that whole, we're not going to get swept in the first round. It would set them back, I think, in their minds. And, you know, Memphis is just tough, man. They're a tough team. I don't think Dallas is as good as Memphis.
Yeah.
And I also don't think they're as hungry as Denver was to not get swept.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we'll see. If they make threes and, you know, the Warriors know they have that backdoor home game, game five, you know, you could see the Warriors laying down or not bringing the energy. We've seen them do that before. But that's when the other team comes out, like, with some energy and some fight, right? Like, so maybe Dallas has a little fight left, but – we will know early if this game is going to be one of them games.
For sure. And when you mentioned the Warriors, the Steph, Clay, and Draymond Warriors, you left out one guy, and that's the guy you wrote about. Are they now the Steph, Dre, Clay, and Wiggins Warriors?
Nice.
I do think they are, actually. I think this is this playoffs have been an important development in the Warriors' future.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard, no matter what happens here on out, it doesn't even matter. We've seen enough to make it really hard to envision this team without Andrew Wiggins. And, I mean, what a revelation that is, right? I mean, just think about that. That dude has been traded for the last 2 years in just about every scenario online in the world, right? And he's been seen as like this piece, you know, that at some point the most value you get out of it is the contract that you can move. And he's become irreplaceable. Where do you find another wing who can do what Wiggins is doing? Like, literally, where do you find it in the league? And I do think the fact that he's doing this on the playoff platform legitimizes it. Because the thing about Wiggins, it was never about his talent or his ability. It was about, did he have that it in him to do it like this on this stage and to do what it takes? And as long as he's with these all-stars and he doesn't have to carry the load, you just, it's just going to be tough to replace that guy. So I do think you got to start putting Wiggins in there. I don't think you can list him until he gets a championship, but moving forward, he's clearly a part of this crazy core.
Yeah, good call, Marcus. Marcus Thompson, our guest on the UMI guest line. The other guy I feel like has really kind of been, you know, just revealed to the country for the first time on a national stage is Kevon Looney. We've known about him here in the Bay, hard worker, blue collar. He'll grab you the boards, doing his thing out there. I feel like now, Marcus, though, like, you know, 22 boards to close out the last series. He had 14 the other night. He's scoring points. He had the 22. I feel like that's a new wrinkle in his game. Like, we really haven't seen is when Kevon starts scoring the basketball. So, I don't know, just your view on Kevon, and do you think that's something we'll see going forward as well, or is that more of a matchup situation we're watching right now?
I mean, Kevon is in, right? Especially on this team. Kevon is a centerpiece. We, you know, all year long, it's been like he's been kind of a placeholder for either the small lineup or, you know, for when they go like with Otto Porter or Bielitsa. And Kevon is just like, all right, start, eat a bunch of minutes, be solid defensively. But I think the persistence of how good he's been, right, and he's just always there, and his reliability has just turned him into part of it, right? I mean, he closes games now, right? They need to get Kevon back in the game.
Yeah.
In many ways. And that's just not how it used to be. He's been exceptional. He's been everything they need him to be. And to me, he's just kind of the blueprint model example of giving your all to your team, you know. And he's worked on that finishing. I asked him about that because I don't care what anybody say, that dude is finishing better. I'm not – get out of here with this, he's finishing better. He's from the dotted line, taking one dribble, one step, and converting. One left hand, right hand, he's pumping. Like, those were not assists before. Now they're assists. And he said he had been working with Dejan, the big man coach, and you know, and he's gotten better at it. So I do think that helps a lot, that they can drop it off to him and he'll finish it. The problem, you know, we're talking about Wiggins and whether he stays. Looney might be playing himself out of the Warriors. Like, wow. I mean, how much is he going to get on the open market?
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's going to be tough. He's become that vital, but, you know, hopefully they can keep him for their sake because, you know, Looney's probably – it feels like one of those situations that it works really well with this team. He should get paid, but, man, maybe it doesn't work as well with another team. So that's going to be something interesting to watch in the offseason.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Man, oh man, it's just all so good right now. And just think how we were after game 5 in Memphis, right? Oh my God, what's going on? They haven't lost since then. Hey, Marcus, here's just kind of a fun barstool one. Pending what happens tonight, one of the guys might snag it. But if you had to handicap the inaugural Magic Johnson Trophy. For some reason, I'm into this. Like, I love that they named the Eastern Conference Finals the Larry Bird Trophy and the Western Conference Finals.
That's cool.
And they've never done it.
Yeah.
They do it in baseball, the NLCS MVP and all that. So who's the lead horse right now, Steph or Wiggins?
I mean, it's Steph, but they'll probably give it to Wiggins.
Because that's the way it works, right?
Yeah, it's Steph Curry. This only works because of Steph Curry.
That's
the part that –
yep.
It kind of gets lost. Wiggins can get 27 because he's playing one-on-one in space against Luka Doncic, not a good defender, or whoever he's against, whatever it is. It's a mismatch because of Steph Curry. And on top of that, you know, Steph did give you 32 and 31 with, I think, 21 assists in those two games. So he's getting the production, he's playing defense, and he's also creating the environment for guys like Kevon Looney and Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins to flourish. So the MVP of this team is perennially, always, and forever Steph Curry. But people will see the defense that Wiggins is playing on Luka, and they will see that, you know, his plus-minus is great against Luka, and he's been great as a scorer. Like Luka, I mean, Andrew Wiggins has been fantastic, so they'll probably give it to him. But if you understand the Warriors, you know, they know, Wiggins knows, everybody knows, Steph Curry is the MVP of everything. If there is an award to be given to an individual player on that team, the first one it goes to is Steph Curry.
See, I don't know if this is like a one-to-one analogy, but it kind of reminds me of Buster Posey, how I felt when he retired. I felt like all along somebody else got more pub, like Lincecum got more pub in 2010, then Bumgarner got more pub in 2014, and then Hunter Pence came along in 2012 and Scudero, and they were kind of the shiny object. Nobody loved them, and all along it was Buster. And I don't know if it's like a one-to-one analogy, but it's kind of like what you're saying with Steph. He makes the whole thing happen, but you'll fall in love with shiny objects for a little bit. You know?
Plus, I would say this, too, just to Steph the man, Marcus and Murph. Like, Steph doesn't need to be the biggest personality in the room. Like, he's happy to let other guys try to get in the spotlight, like whether it's Clay, when he's dishing to Clay and trying to feed guys like Steph.
He wants the trophy, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, but he doesn't demand, like, his personality doesn't demand everyone in the room's attention. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do think, and the part that is very underrated about him is his leadership. You know, if you start looking at, if you were Minnesota and all year long, every time Wiggins has a good game, Warriors fans start, you know, talking about, oh, what a trade. And then Minnesota fans would be like, just wait, he's going to disappoint you. And then he'd be up and down. And if you're looking at this and you're Minnesota, you're like, wait a second. What is happening? Like, why is he doing this now, right? Why is he doing this? The answer is because Steph Curry is not only creating the environment, but he's pouring into him. If you watch all these moments when he got the big rebound against Denver and when they won game three, the first person going to him celebrating it was Steph Curry. When Steph hits a big three in the midst of game six, I think, And Wiggins created with the shot before that, Steph is running to Wiggins and telling him, like, you're the reason we're winning. Like, this is Steph Curry we're talking about doing this for Wiggins, right? This is Steph Curry infusing these guys with confidence. It's one of the great leadership examples, too, of how when you play with him, everybody eats and everybody feels better about it. But if you look at it, I mean, how did he get the dunk on Wiggins? I mean, on Doncic, like they're doubling Curry, and it's wide open lane. it's literally a wide open lane because they're afraid of Steph Curry, right? So, to me, and we'll look at this 20 years later when we kind of put people's careers into perspective. People just come; they love playing with Steph. They love playing next to him. They benefit from it. They get better because of it. And everybody eats. Everybody gets praised. I mean, there's a reason Andre Iguodala is not retired. He wanted to come play another year and be with Steph. Like, I mean, there's just this line of people who love playing with Steph and love benefiting from him. So it's the leadership part that doesn't, you know, there's no stat for it, but it's something you'll appreciate.
Yeah.
You know, over time, as you start to analyze how good this dude is.
That's the way they talk about Buster, too. So there you go. Hey, by the way, just a fun one, not off of the current iteration of Game 4 in the NBA Finals. Do you think Curry has a Tom Brady-like Jones to play forever, like as long as he can? Because he's got a lot of things going on. He's an investor. He's a student. He's a family man. Do you think he has a Jones to play a really long time?
Good question.
I think if he's good, I think he does. There was a time where he didn't. You know, there was a time he was like, you know, I'll be done about 37. But I think he was kind of looking at my children and, you know, Steph grew up with an NBA dad. I think he knows the importance of the father being around, you know, when he the reason he spent time in Toronto is because, you know, he's 13 years old. His family felt like it was important for them to be together. So they moved to Toronto while his father was playing for the Raptors. So I do think there's a part of Steph that's like, all right, Riley starts getting 13, 14, 15. I don't want to be not there, right? Ryan starts hitting those teenage years. I want to be there. So I do think there's a part of him that will want to be there. But I also think 2 years ago when he came back from the pandemic in his 30s and was like, yo, I'm still nice.
How long
can we ride this out? So I think as long as he's this good, he's going to play. But, if he's like 38, 39, and, his talent is clearly reduced, I don't think he'll have a problem walking away because he'll want to be around his kids.
Yeah, obviously to be written, but it'd be interesting to see if he did, kind of play deep. Who's the old – was it Vince Carter was the oldest or –
Yeah, Vince Carter was like 49. No, he's 42, I think.
Yeah, but he was around forever. Yeah,
Udonis Haslam.
Yeah,
something like that.
Even LeBron, Kevin dude. LeBron's
How long
getting
Kevin Willis play.
Yeah,
Kevin Willis. There's a great name. Am I going to say 44? Jumps to my mind for some reason. Anyway, well, that's a long way. That's
Marcus,
10 years away from Steph.
I know
nine years away.
LeBron's waiting for his kid to get to the league and stuff. But like, LeBron's going to play into his 40s, right?
I think so. I mean, he's 37 now. Yeah. His contract, will get him to 39, I think, but he'll probably sign an extension or something. And he definitely is going to wait to get his son on the team.
Well, he'll be down here at Chase Center, Marcus.
What do you mean, coming to play with
Steph? I like it.
Yeah.
Hey. It sounds like that's what he wants anyway.
He would love to have Steph.
I'm only 11% joking.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So.
Well, yeah. LeBron's going to have to come to – I'll tell you one thing, though, Marcus. Joe Lacob ain't letting go of Steph, so LeBron's going to have to come to the he's going to have to come to Chase Center if he wants a piece of Steph.
Oh, yeah, no question, man.
Yeah.
Steph ain't moving to L.A. And plus, Steph would never – like, who could survive the most? Whichever one says, I want to go play with that guy, who could survive the criticism the most? Like, it's probably LeBron. Like, he's so established, it probably wouldn't be a thing. His fans are incredibly loyal. I mean, they kill Steph now. He's always being criticized and diminished now. Can you imagine if he left the Warriors to go play with LeBron? He just would never, ever do that.
No, he
won't. Have to be LeBron come play with him.
Yep.
You come to me, yeah. LeBron. All right, man. Well, hey, how's the big D otherwise? How's Dallas?
Yeah, I'm glad you said Dallas.
All right, let's stick with Dallas.
Yeah,
right?
You know what I mean?
Let's stick with Dallas, all right?
That's been the running thing out here. But Dallas, man, I like Dallas, man, except for it's incredibly hot and humid. One minute, the next minute, it feels like a tornado's coming. But Dallas is a great city. It's a trip. You ever get something really nice, something new and nice and fancy, and then the old thing that you used to love, and like it feels very old. Like that's how American Airlines Center feel after being in Chase. It's like, I used to think this arena was nice, but man, it's a bit decrepit.
Everything, like, <it's> man. That's it. That means right now, Mark Cuban's already trying to buy some suburban land to build a new one out there in
a little late.
Wait, what's Lake?
He's a little late.
Feels
like he should have done it. I mean, it's a really nice setup. I just remember liking it a lot. I remember this being one of my favorite places. It's still a really great setup from the fan perspective, right? The crowd isn't what it used to be, but a big part of that is like Warriors takeover now. But the last time I was here for a playoffs was 07, and it was, man, it was rowdy. It was crazy in here. So that was, 15 years ago. But, man, Chase Center makes everything feel so old.
Yeah.
It just feels really old. So, that was a jarring thought after, being here. But I just like the Mavericks whole setup. I think the everything around it is nice. The victory area, like even the color scheme, all of it is dope to me.
Jim Nantz was here for the Sweet 16, came in studio with us for an hour and hung out. And, of course, Jim being Jim, he likes to be a gentleman and praise things. But he said, it's the finest arena in the land. That's what he said about Chase Center.
Yes,
so,
yes.
I mean, he was – but that's Jimmy Nantz, the stamp of approval there. He's been around. So,
I tell you who was enjoying the digs of American Airlines Center.
Who's that?
Micah Parsons and Debo Samuel.
Oh, I know. Dude, the Debo Draymond. We saw Draymond gave him his jersey. Is that right?
Yeah, he was holding his jersey, waiting for – he got the jersey. I think Micah got a Steph jersey because Micah is a big Steph fan.
Micah Parsons can play. I'll take him. If Debo wants to bring Micah, too, we'll take both of them.
Sure.
All right. Hey, man, happy birthday to your daughter. Her name is, of course –
Sharon.
And nice. Happy 15th. What a great, I mean, she's obvious. You've shared so many stories of her through your columns in the years. She's a delightful young girl. She's obviously really bright, and she's written some great stuff. And she's your pride and joy, so happy birthday to her.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And 2 days from now is my 21st anniversary, so I need the Warriors to get out of this era.
Clearly, you did all this during the Cohan years, when nothing was going down.
Just for the sake, I'm telling you right now, just for the sake of Marcus's personal life, the Warriors need to wrap this series up tonight, you know?
Nah, you need to, absolutely, wrap it up. But, you know, hey, this is the cost of doing business, man. We got a good life
because of this,
everybody will be all right. But you're absolutely right. I remember helping Warriors players plan their vacations in March. They're like, man, where should I go?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, you're right. You could plan in May and June back in the day because, you know, that's when you were off work. So,
back in the day.
This is the price. This is the price we pay. Marcus, for those plans.
Marcus was hooking up Jay Rich and Troy Murphy with his travel agent back in the day.
Giving Biedrin some numbers. Yeah.
I was helping him decide between paradises, right?
Bahamas
or France. Where should I go?
All right, we'll go see if the Warriors can surgically remove the Mavericks' heart early tonight, and we will read you in The Athletic. Happy birthday to your daughter. Be good, Marcus.
All right, have a good one, fellas.
Thanks, man. Marcus Thompson. Sounded very relaxed. Good connection.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.